Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Good morning. On behalf of the United Methodist Church and the Reverend Kimberly Farrell, I welcome you to this worship service this morning. I am Mary Martin, as most of you know, and this is the next to last Sunday I'll be with you, because I think that's better than saying, boy, are we glad she's leaving. Kim will be back next Sunday, and we're going to do a combination Kim and Mary show, so that ought to be very interesting. You don't want to miss it. Coming attractions. Well, we all know that God is loving us and holding us and giving us peace. So the peace of God be with you all as we prepare for our worship. And now let us join in our call to worship as we read responsively. Moses saw a burning bush, and he took off his shoes, for he expected to be on holy ground.
We have come to worship with our shoes on and our minds distracted. How shall we find holiness?
As in Moses' time, so also now. God hears the cries of people and comes to be with them.
Our hearts are full of cries. How shall we know that God answers?
I am, God told Moses, and then God asked him for a commitment.
In this time of worship, may we recognize God's name and respond to God's call.
And let us sing our hymn, O God, our help in ages past.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John 2, verses 13 through 22. Not long before the Jewish festival of Passover, Jesus went to Jerusalem. There he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves in the temple. He also saw money changers sitting at their tables. So he took some rope and made a whip. Then he chased everyone out of the temple, together with their sheep and cattle. He turned over the tables of the money changers and scattered their coins. Jesus said to the people who had been selling doves, "Get those doves out of here. Don't make my Father's house a marketplace." The disciples then remembered that the scriptures say, "My love for your house burns in me like a fire." The Jewish leaders asked Jesus, "What miracle will you work to show us why you have done this?" "Destroy this temple," Jesus answered, "and in 3 days I will build it again." The leaders replied, "It took 46 years to build this temple. What makes you think you can rebuild it in 3 days?" But Jesus was talking about his body as a temple. And when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered what he had told them. Then they believed the scriptures and the words of Jesus. These are God's words for God's people. Amen.
Now would the children join me down front, please? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
Well, we have been talking about God's love, haven't we? Every Sunday we talk about something about God's love. And I remembered a little song that I sang in camp, and I thought maybe you'd like to sing it and help remind yourself about God's love. But you have to use your arm. Are your arms working? Let's get them out there. Are they working? Good. I'm glad they're working this morning. All right. Let's see if we can do this. I love you and you love me. God's banner over us is love. I love you and you love me. God's banner over us is love. I love you and you love me. God's banner over us is love. God's banner over us is love. Okay, let's try it again now with both hands, okay? And the big people, I bet, can do it too. What do you think?
Big people!
Yes! Thank you, Quinn. That would be very good. Yeah.
I love you and you love me. God's banner over us is love. I love you and you love me. God's banner over us is love. I love you and you love me. God's banner over us. His love, God's banner over us is love.
Do you think you can remember that? I'll bet you can. Will you sing that at home with your family at home? Will you? Yeah. Let's have a prayer together. Can we join hands? Dear God, thank you that you love us so much. Help us never to forget that your love is always with us. Amen. And thank you all for coming. I love that vitality. I just love it.
Well, this morning you're going to hear "Bless the Lord, My Soul," which is from a cantata by Johann Sebastian Bach. And it's based on Psalm 103.
Thank you.
So much choir. Well, whether we like it or not, we are all affected by the culture of the day. It is as true today as it was in Jesus' time. Clothing styles, lifestyles, and attitudes change with the culture, and we change with them. Even though we want to say differently, we are affected by culture, whether we want to be or not. I went on a trip, on a cruise with my sisters about 3 years ago. And if you ever want to find out what the culture of the day is doing, go on a cruise. It was a birthday cruise for my younger sister who turned 70. And my birthday is not in the spring, in March, but there is all my sisters and my stepsister, even my sister-in-law, all had birthdays this past week. So they were all celebrating. But I wanted to say, wait a minute, folks, to all that was going on. There's more to life than all this hoopla. What about your spirituality? What about your relationship to God? Is it well with your souls? Jesus walked into the temple and saw people acting out what had affected them in their culture. This scripture is a parable that Jesus acts out, not one that he makes to tell a point. Jesus is the star of the drama of salvation. John writes this action story into the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John is saying, watch. Watch and see what Jesus will do in this ministry. Watch and see what God is doing in your lives all through history. God is with us, even when it doesn't seem that way. God's mysterious love is intervening in our lives whenever we allow that love to intervene. Jesus says that this temple of God's love should be the place where everyone can come and find a representation of God. The people that Jesus found there were more interested in whether or not the sacrificial animals or birds were just right, were pure enough, were the best. The money changers were only concerned with making a little more money for themselves. These same folk didn't seem to understand about their own change of heart. They were caught up in the everydayness of how much they could each get out of this work for themselves, with the emphasis on the goods. Could these birds, animals, lambs, and whatever be good enough for God? So Jesus cleans out the temple. He says, in fact, stop turning my father's house into a shopping mall. Jesus puts together a whip out of strips of leather and chases all the loan sharks out. When the Judean authorities ask him what credentials he has to be doing this, he simply answers, "Tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll put it back." Well, of course, we know that he's talking about himself, not the bricks and mortar. We live post-resurrection. Yet, even those disciples were able to put two and two together after the death-resurrection event. It is the sovereignty of grace over judgment all over again. It is the exaltation of losers who are willing to believe in grace over winners who think they can make it on their own. Judgment indeed falls on this world. But since the world is populated by losers or by those who live in the human condition, there is hope for everybody. There is hope for all of us. Grace always waits for us to accept our destruction and in that acceptance to discover the power of the resurrection and the life. Grace remains forever sovereign over judgment. The Old Testament prophets had tried to help people understand that the temple cult and its sacrificial system were not helpful to drawing people into an understanding of God. The grandiose show of piety was not helping people to come into an intimate relationship with God. Their focus was on the purity of animals and coins, not the purity of heart. They were caught up in the system, and the focus was on works, not faith. Here is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry saying that he is humbling himself before God. God is in charge here, not the human condition. God has moved into the neighborhood and is doing something new. We are called to humility in relationship to God. We are to focus on the vulnerability of God through Jesus the Christ. We do not hear, "You can't touch me," but rather Christ's words disclose the degree of God's openness to humankind, all humankind. Yet they do not relinquish God's ultimate authority. So how do we balance our lives? How do we stay true to our faith and our beliefs as we walk around in this world and in this culture? Will we be tempted to incorporate beliefs that are not healthy for us spiritually? Well, the answer is yes, of course we will. Bernard Madoff saw people around him making all kinds of money, and he wanted some of that money for himself. He tried some honest ways. They didn't work. The money wasn't big enough, so he came up with a Ponzi scheme and paid off workers on Wall Street and conned many intelligent people out of their hard-earned dollars. Of course, these people wanted more and more of what the culture values, which is money, so they played into Madoff's hands. It is reported that this is the biggest scandal that Wall Street has ever seen. Until he got caught, he was fooling the culture, fooling other people, and most of all, fooling himself. What would Jesus say to him now? Then there are the football players and the baseball players, movie stars and golfers making salaries that would support small countries. Caught up in the pop culture of becoming a star in anything makes one worth millions of dollars a year. We don't even question when a teen signs someone for $30 million on a 5-year salary that's renegotiated after it runs out. How does one spend $30 million anyway? I've often wondered that. I'm pretty good at spending money, but $30 million? How many people could be helped out with food, clothing, and shelter for $30 million? We simply shake our heads, put down the paper, or turn off the television. What message is there in today's lesson for all of us? We are all caught up in today's culture in one way or another. I know a doctor who struggles with spending $300,000 a year. Oh, yes, she gives a portion to the needy, takes some trips, and always includes her family on outings, but still has more money than she really needs or even can use. It all starts off very simply. The folks in the temple needed to change the money that people brought into the temple, since the people were required to use Roman coins in that society. The Hebrews didn't want Roman coins used in their worship, So they needed to change the money into Hebrew coinage. The folks that were the money changers were mostly honest people, but there are always those who find ways to take a little on the side, make a little money for themselves at the expense of others. It's easy to cheat a little here and there. Bernie Madoff started off as an honest businessman, but it became easy for him to cheat others. He got caught up in the ecstasy of no oversight. When no one challenges our actions, it can become harmful even to ourselves. So where are we caught up in the culture today? What is Jesus trying to say to us by the use of this parable? Do we depend on things of all kinds in order to be content with our lives? Are we tempted to cheat someone else out of something, be it our love or our time or even our money? Jesus came to say there is more to life than money. Power, position, wealth, clothes, all these are temporal things. They will not bring us happiness or contentment. When there is peace, there is change of heart. That's what I believe Jesus was about. In one weekly letter from our district superintendent a couple of years ago, he says, and I quote, "It is Lent, and we understand that they are us and we are them." Paraphrasing Pogo, "We are the body of Christ. There is no us or them. There is only us, and we are one. It is Lent, and we understand some of life is difficult and hard to accommodate with our own desires. When we take up the cross, we take on the attitude of Christ, who did not accommodate his own desires, but identified with us. We, the body of Christ, will be a transforming presence in leading and developing a diverse community of Christ's disciples." End quote. As our hearts change, we change. Our spirits change. And we let go of temporal things and focus on the pureness of heart and spirit. May this be our challenge this week. May it be so. And now let us turn to our hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Benediction.
Go forth, daring to be an instrument of God's peace in all places, at work, at home, and in all contexts, wherever we may go. Go forth, being willing to look inside ourselves as we journey in this Lenten season. Go forth with God.
Amen. Confronting Our Culture with Mary Martin, originally broadcast March 8, 2015. We are shaped and influenced every day by our culture, whether or not we want to be. How do we maintain balance in our lives amid all the competing influences and stay true to our Christian beliefs?
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.